Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Maybe you've noticed that sometimes, because death is such a serious subject that can, for so many people, bring up many painful memories, especially if there is a recent loss in your life. Sometimes people will try to lighten the mood when that very serious subject comes up by cracking jokes or in some other way making light to kind of distract attention from that otherwise very serious subject. But death is no laughing matter. Trying to treat the topic with mirth does not make the topic go away or have any less sting. It is a reality. Just as any news feed that you follow will point out, the headlines and the chyrons on the screen contain grim reminders of people who have been killed by others, people who have died in accidents, or people who have succumbed to dreaded diseases. Considering how much we are exposed to the reality of death, why is it that we find death so hard to face? Why do we try to brush it aside? Could it be that it is too much a reminder of something that we have no control over? It reminds us that failure is not overlooked by God. Our sins are not overlooked by God. Our failure to keep His commandments is punishable by death. No matter how flowery the phrase is, no matter how vigorously or how often we deny it, death is death. It is most certainly real. The Apostle Paul reminds us in our sermon text today from Romans chapter 5 that sin entered the world through one man, through Adam, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. Adam and Eve failed to heed God's warning, and thus they broke that perfect, harmonious relationship that they had had with God by the sin that they had committed against Him. Failing to uphold the will of God brought upon Adam and Eve grief and punishment. They were no longer free to live and rejoice in the presence of God without fear. Their failure brought punishment. And punishment brought death. The failure was so severe that only the most extreme solution could offer help. And the solution was for God to send His own Son to offer His life as a ransom for their lives. And so Christ Jesus took on Himself the punishment for sin. And in doing so, He overcame the reign of death. In death's place, Jesus established abundant life. Now, Adam and Eve may not initially have clearly understood all of the effects that death would have, but it wasn't long, the Bible tells us, before they knew all too well the pain and sorrow that death could bring. When their firstborn son, Cain, killed their secondborn son, Abel, death's power and grief was known to them. It wasn't enough that Adam and Eve had lost their comfortable home in the Garden of Eden, or that they had to sweat and toil now in their labor in their fallen, sinful state. They had failed, and the clearest reminder was one son dead and another son banished. No amount of sorrow could turn things around. They had violated God's law, and death was now the result. Their feeble attempts to hide from God and to cover up their sin by blaming the devil or by blaming each other or by blaming God Himself had no effect in resolving that problem that they had brought upon themselves and brought into the world. They were responsible for the sin they had committed. They had failed. Their sin resulted in death. And nothing that they did or could do could change that punishment. Death was now in control, and it affected all of God's creation. All people suffered physically and spiritually. The sin of disobedience had shattered the perfect condition of God's original creation. There was no longer perfect harmony between God and people. Now there was only disharmony. No longer was there perfect understanding of God's will and desire to accomplish it. Now there was only misunderstanding. Man now struggled with himself, his world, and his God. And as time passed, even the desire to serve God faded away. Mankind became so distant from God that at the time of the flood, at the time of Noah, the Bible says that only Noah and his family, among all the other people in the world, found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Everyone else had turned away from faith in God and desire to do God's will. The reign of death had destroyed the special relationship between God and humankind that he had created in his own image. And the result of mankind's sin and being under the burden of death was ungodliness. The harder human beings tried to structure their own existence, the worse things became. Separated from the relationship God had established with them in his original creation, humankind was now doomed, and all the world together with them. None of their efforts would change anything. Like some extremely contagious disease, sin spread rapidly among all people, and death came with it as a result. What God had declared to be good at the time of his creation now had become evil. The creation struggled against the reign of death, but to no avail. There was no freedom. The Apostle Paul reminds us of this when he writes in Romans chapter 8, "The whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Everything in all of creation was negatively affected. Everything was hopeless and without help." Adam's failure became creation's downfall. And even though Adam and Eve could do nothing to turn their failure around, God could. And to them, God gave a promise of help and salvation. Unfortunately, sin and death had so fractured the relationship God had intended for people to have with him and with one another that God's promise to them of a Savior was often disregarded by them. Over and over, the results of the fall into sin could be seen in the struggle against the burdens sin and death had brought onto humankind. As simple as God's solution was, humanity had fallen into the trap of depending too much on itself and depending too little on God. And throughout the millennia since that fall into sin, nothing has changed. As intelligent as we may feel that we are, we still all too often battle on our own with the same result in the end: death. Only God can truly help, and yet we still continue to try to devise our own ways to confront and conquer death. We're like little children who like to think that they can do everything on their own when clearly they cannot. The more that we try to solve the problem of death by ourselves, the more we fail, and the more death's stranglehold on us is tightened. The only thing that our attempted solutions do is to separate us further from the truth that we need for our salvation. We will often go to any limits in our attempts to break death's grip. But no matter what we try to do to overcome death, it's never enough. Sooner or later, it comes and takes away what seems so precious and enduring. Not wanting to die changes nothing. Denying death only keeps us from receiving the help that God has made available. God's help can overcome the spiritual separation between us and God and give us the understanding that God offers so that we can better live our lives and live in hope. It's been said that the true tragedy of life is not that people die, but that they never truly live. Without God present in our lives, we cannot truly live. No matter what we try, without God, without Him active in our lives, we can't overcome the fear and the frustration that death ultimately brings. Without God, our feeble efforts of coping with death ultimately leave us lost. Not having answers and feeling lost, we ultimately then live an empty life, a life that is without any real meaning. But none of that stops people from trying. We don't have to look around very hard to see people who are in a frenzy to try to do anything they can to avoid death. They hurry get to work and try earnestly to find a solution that will take away or solve the problem of death. Doctors and scientists are constantly pressed to find cures for the diseases that destroy life. More and more money goes into the development of new equipment and new procedures to put death off, if only for a little while. Doctors are sometimes encouraged to preserve life at all costs, sometimes to the point of sustaining life in a person who should have otherwise been mercifully allowed to die. No one wants to die. And in putting so much into the development of all this new medical and scientific technology, we somehow feel a bit of hope that perhaps someday we'll be able to find a miracle cure for all that physically plagues us. People don't see the real problem that causes the reign of death. And therefore, they are also not in touch with the abundant life that God offers us through Jesus. We cannot control. Only God can. And until we understand that, all of our frenzied efforts at avoiding death will be for nothing. We will search for solutions without ever realizing the true problem. The medicine and the machines aren't the problem. Their use is not the problem. In fact, in many cases, these life support methods have helped people to live life more fully. The problem is that we think that these techniques are the answers to death. It's as though these modern means to prolong life and good health will make the ultimate difference, but there is nothing in all of healthcare and medicine that can deal with the root problem, which is sin. There is nothing that doctors can prescribe to help with the basic problem of us being separated from God and condemned because of our sins. Ever since the fall of Adam and Eve into sin, all people have sinned. And that is the root problem. Sin results in death, both physical and spiritual death. The wages of sin is death. We can spend our time scurrying about in life looking for inner peace as the solution to this age-old problem, but the world isn't going to give us that inner peace. It can't. No matter how financially well off, how healthy, how well liked or well known, how successful in our business or in our community we might be, no matter how outstanding our family and friends may be, no matter where we have traveled or plan to travel, there is nothing apart from God's help through Jesus that can ultimately make any difference at all. Jesus speaks about this in John chapter 14 when he said to his disciples before his imminent death the next day, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Through faith, Jesus brings us understanding of who we are and what He has done for us. Life in Jesus gives peace and meaning to our lives, because in Jesus the reign of death has ended, and so has the terror that death brings. Jesus is the answer because he offers life. He says in John chapter 10, "I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." The ransom price that Jesus paid on the cross, his innocent blood and his death on the cross, has made it possible for us to be forgiven of all of our sins and to know that life does not stop at the grave, but that it continues throughout all eternity. Jesus has prepared a place for us with him in heaven, and he waits to take us to be there with him. Knowing that Jesus gives us life only shows us how foolish we are to look within the world for solutions to death. Those who look within the world only have disappointment. They're disappointed because life is never found. They look, but they never really see. And all the time, what they want so badly is readily available. The help that they need is freely given by God. Freedom from the slavery of death is God's special gift in his Son, who revealed it at the empty tomb on Easter morning. When Jesus came to life that Easter day, God had conquered death once and for all. The Apostle Paul says, "If the many died by the trespass of the one man, Adam, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many?" Jesus dealt with the root problem, sin. Jesus conquered sin on the cross by accepting the sting of sin in his own body, death. And he proclaimed his sure victory over sin and death when he burst forth from his tomb, full of life that brings us hope. Perhaps it could be compared to being lost in a cave. Maybe if you've gone into Mammoth Cave or another deep and winding cave deep underground, you might have experienced a time where I assume you were with a guide, or maybe you're into spelunking, when the tour guide in the cave turns off the lights and it is pitch black, utter darkness. Now imagine you went spelunking on your own and you got lost deep in the recesses of a cave. Perhaps the battery on your headlamp went out. And if you were deep and down far enough, you would have no light at all, and you would be in a seemingly hopeless and helpless situation. Wherever you turn, you'd bump into rocks or stalagmites or stalactites, and you'd be as seemingly at endless dead ends. But if only a small glimmer of light shines down a distant passageway, then you have hope. Jesus is the light for the world. Jesus shines through the gloom and darkness of sin and death and gives us hope for living. Knowing that Jesus has conquered sin relieves us of the burden of wondering what death may hold for us, what may come after death, and instead it sets us free to enjoy the life that we have been given. Life, eternal life, that is already ours through faith in Jesus our Savior. The effect of Jesus in our world is greater than the effect of sin. Sin brought death into the world, but Jesus has brought life, abundant life. No longer is it necessary to hurry about looking for human answers to death, because in Jesus, all the answers are found. Jesus carried our burden of sin to the cross where he died. And now risen from the dead, he helps us see what is beyond the grave, the precious gift of heaven that God offers freely to us through Jesus. Jesus helps us to realize that we have nothing to fear. The fear of death is gone because of the victory of our Lord Jesus. The traps and the pitfalls of sin and death, have been replaced by the assurance that we are alive. God's grace abounds to us in Jesus our Savior. We are living without having to discover how to remain alive. We don't have to search frantically for our own solutions to death because we have God's solution for us through faith in Jesus. Through God's word, our answer is found. It is God's free gift to us. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. God's grace abounds all the more in Christ. As we face death, we can be sure of this. As futile as our human efforts are, they only keep us in death, but God's victory for us is sure. God paid a big price when he sent his Son to the cross. He paid a big price to bring us back to himself again. He paid the price to satisfy the demands that he made when he said that man must die because of sin. God took all of that punishment on himself out of love. In the midst of our struggling for answers to life, Jesus sent life. As we struggled with the concept of death, Jesus offered freedom. In all that happened on Calvary, God's love could be seen. He cared, and his Son cared. In love, he laid down his life in our place. One person, one life for all people and for all lives. If you've ever watched any documentaries about the challenges of coal mining, you know how dangerous of a job that is. Often there are cave-ins, and often there are methane gas leaks that can threaten the lives of the men who go down into the mines. And so in order to preserve the life and safety of all the miners who go down into the coal mines, someone would be sent down ahead by themselves with a candle to check and see if there are any methane gas leaks in the mine shafts. Any flicker in the flame of that candle would be a warning that there is a gas leak and that it's not safe for the miners to go down. And so every morning before the coal miners would descend down into the shaft, they would send a person down to test and to check and see, and all the others would wait at the top of the shaft for the safety inspector to come out and to let them know whether it is safe to go down for that day's work. That is just what Jesus has done for us. Coming up out of the depths of death, Jesus has announced to us that all who are gathered here in this life on earth, that it is okay. It is safe. We can enter into death, into the darkness and the unknown that it brings, because Jesus has been there. He has not only checked it out, but he has been victorious over it. He has overcome it for us. And he promises that he will be with us through that process of death, even as he has been with us throughout our whole lives on this earth. Death had its firm grasp on life, but Jesus shattered that hold that death had over life at Easter. When Jesus' cold tomb was empty, it signaled that we have been given a chance to stand before our Heavenly Father and to bask in his marvelous light without the fear of being cast aside because of our sins. Jesus has brought victory over sin and death and has given us the gift of abundant life. The words of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 ring loud and clear. Death has been swallowed up in victory, in the victory of Jesus. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That conquering power of Christ that is ours by faith is not going to change our lives so that there are no more disappointments, no more sorrows or heartaches, losses or pains or frustrations, but it does assure us that we can quit searching for something that doesn't really exist. When through faith in Jesus, atoning work is introduced into our lives, then we understand that we are on the right path and that whatever we face in this life, Jesus faces with us. As we struggle through the challenges of this life, we are assured that we are never alone. He is always with us. As we face the burdens of this life, Jesus is right there with us, bearing those burdens for us. And when the time arrives that we too face that ancient, dreaded enemy of death, we can know that Jesus has opened the door and waits to carry us through, where we will receive his gift for us, abundant, eternal life. Amen.